Hi, this is Dr. Diane Hayden, and I am the owner and publisher of Natural Nutmeg Magazine, Essential Living Maine Magazine, and a series of book collaborations. Our latest one that's due to be released in a couple of months is going to be called The Power of Coaching, Tips and Tools for Transformation. And it's an amazing book with a group of coaches from all different disciplines that have each written chapters on all different kinds of topics, from coaching around financial issues to relationships to career change to basically just any kind of life and personal development that you can imagine. And I have on the line with me today author Louise Pallotta. She wrote the chapter Finding Your Life's Work from the Inside Out. And Louise is the owner of Bridgelight Coaching. She's a certified life and business coach with over 25 years of experience in healthcare and Fortune 100 companies. She's accredited by the International Coaching Academy, ICA, for life and business coaching. Her educational background at the University of Connecticut includes a bachelor's degree in organizational management with honors and a business mastery certification. Experienced in healthcare and business industries, her roles have included executive and career coaching, employee development and negotiations, and human resources. She has led training, program development, communications, and several service operation areas, progressing to assistant vice president in a Fortune 100 company. Her education and background supports clients and businesses from a variety of life and career perspectives. Coaching expertise is broad and blended with an intuitive and customized approach to support each client's needs and goals. Louise also speaks with groups on customized topics and personal and professional development themes. Clients are engaged in person, on the phone, or online to inspire, guide, and move them forward to their possibilities. So thank you so much for being here today, and welcome, Louise.
Thank you, Diane. I'm really excited to talk about my favorite topic, coaching and people reaching their goals.
I know. My favorite topic, too, I think.
That's great.
So, we have two kinds of audiences that I think listen to these teleconferences, and that will pick up the new book too. It's, you know, people that are thinking about becoming a life coach, and obviously people that are interested in getting, you know, some coaching for themselves. So I want to start out by just, you know, finding out more about you and your journey to becoming a coach, and, you know, what was it really that helped you or made you decide that was what you wanted to do, if there were any life events that prompted it, or kind of how you found your path to that?
I know, it's so interesting, and I think in retrospect, we always get these answers, but I have to say coaching found me. It's really interesting because the first half of my career really was more in human resources, and then as I decided I wanted to get more into business leadership and understand the role of a manager from that perspective, I was, as a human resources specialist, I was helping to develop and support many leaders, and I thought, wow, you know, I think I would be even better at this if I had that role myself. So I kind of moved into business leadership, and what I realized only about 5-6 years ago was I had been coaching people my entire career. I just didn't realize it. And when I started talking to more and more HR professionals who were starting to get their certification to just be sure they were at the top of their game as a coach, I realized I had been doing it, and that's what I wanted to do more of. I think as a business leader, or as any employee, we've always all had jobs and work. We're putting maybe 90,000 hours a year into work, or 90,000 hours, into work. And I wanted that work to be compelling for me and even more satisfying. So I don't know. I can't say I had an epiphany or a life-changing event, but one day I was counseling a top leader who was looking to be happier in their role, and they said, "Gee, Louise, thanks for being my coach." And then bells went off. And I started researching it. So I think it found me, I guess, is really my short answer to that.
I think that's what happens to a lot of people, actually, and many people that I talk to have said, you know, I've been doing this coaching thing before coaching was even a career. So, you know, whether that was in your role with another company or just something that you had, you know, people had created for themselves. So Now, I find that many times your work does find you.
It does. And I think as I, you know, got into my studying, you know, which I know we'll get into in a few minutes, what I realized was as I went through the program, it also changed me. And I realized that true coaching is helping and supporting someone else to empower themselves, not necessarily advice giving or making recommendations, but helping them reach them on their own. And I think that was truly what inspired me to keep plugging and decide this is what I wanted to do.
Right. Yep. Yeah, I think that's a big difference between maybe I'll say coaching and therapy is that I think a lot of people go into coaching, well, people who hire coaches, thinking, oh, you know, this person is going to tell me what to do, I'm not sure what I need to do, and they kind of like fall back into relying on them as an advisor more, when in reality coaching, like you said, is about empowering the person to take ownership and responsibility for deciding and making those choices themselves.
And I know as you being a coach as well, Diane, and many others that have worked together on this book, we've all talked about the same thing, that that's where our joy comes from, is seeing the light go off and they move through a fear or an obstacle or something that has blocked them for maybe a long, long time. And they're like, wow, I reframed this, I'm looking at this differently, and I think I can do this now. And that keeps me in this, and I know a lot of us, because that's where our joy comes from.
Right, exactly. So that leads me to the question, you know, how did you decide which coaching program to go through? Because there's so many out there, and, you know, I do like to educate people on the fact that when, if you are considering becoming a coach, that you really need to choose which program you go through carefully, because you want to make sure that there's accreditation, that it's not just a weekend program or somebody else who's just decided they're going to offer some, you know, coaching certification that doesn't really have, you know, I guess any or much substantive stuff behind it. But, so yeah, tell us a little bit about, you know, how you made that choice.
Sure, and I think you raised such good points, and that was all on my mind as I started to research it. So that day that this very top business leader said, thanks for being my coach, I came home and I got right on the computer and I started looking at this profession. I really knew nothing about it. So I would Google things like top coaching institutions in the world or coaching academies, and I just threw in everything I could think of and I just started reading about it. And what I realized, especially from my HR perspective, is there were many colleagues I've had in different companies over the years who did call themselves coaches, but they did go to some of those programs you just mentioned, such as a weekend workshop and coming out with a diploma of some kind. And
yeah,
while those are valuable, true coaching is really getting under the layers of what's going on in the person to really, with skills and expertise, ask the questions that help them come up through those layers to figure out what, not only what they really want, which as a coach I realize is never what they come to me for. It's
of course not.
Different.
Yep.
I know. Like I want a new job. It ends up being I want a better relationship with my boss because I love where I work and I love what I do. Situations
right.
Like that. So I researched. So here was what was important to me. One, that it had studies and learning and practice built into the program. Because as a former trainer myself, I know that knowledge does not equal skills. So we have to have the learning, but applying it is a whole different skill set. So I wanted a program where I could learn what coaching was all about, the theory and practice of it. I also needed, I wanted to be sure it had a program where I was monitored, I was reviewed, I had to practice, as scary as that is, because until we really coach other people with objective people giving us feedback, we cannot get good at that, I don't believe. So
right.
I wanted those components. I also, for my life, because I was working, I'll say full-time plus, which is, you know, never 40 hours, usually 50 to 70, and often getting on at night, I needed something that was flexible, and I could self-pace because I could never know how my job was going to be in any given week in terms of commitment or travel. So I needed that, and what was important to me was that the program be certified by what I call one of the most important organizations in coaching, the ICF, the International Coach Federation, which not only looks at programs and approves them, but also can support coaches in the future to be at their best. So those were my criteria, and I settled on the ICA, which is the International Coach Academy, run by an amazing woman, Robin Logan. I listened to interviews with her. I listened to and read all the bios of the instructors. I called them. I talked with one of their reps for quite a while on two different occasions. And I really wanted to be sure they were like-minded people, that they came from a place of wanting to help coaches and train coaches to help others. I wanted the learning, the experience, and the skills. And I wanted to be sure I would come out of a program that had a really, really great reputation. So I have to say, for me, ICA met all of those and then some, and I still stay in touch on their forum and with those folks, you know, years later.
Yeah, that's great. I just want to, highlight the point you made again about how it's so important to have the hands-on skill of actually, you know, like most of these programs, you are assigned a peer coach that coaches you, and you coach another person, and it's like a year and a half program where you're not only learning, but you're also practicing the skill. And I think that's what's missing in some of these, you know, weekend things or whatever is there. I'm sure you get a lot of knowledge, but there's no way that in 3 or 4 days, or even if it was, you know, a week-long thing, you're going to have the skill set to be able to, like you said, really dig under the layers of what people have accumulated over the years into what's really, you know, what really is blocking them, what really is the issue, what's the fear. That takes a lot of time and practice in going back and forth as a practice coach to really learn how to do that.
Yeah, because, again, a lot of what I learned when I was in training is it's been scientifically proven over and over again that knowledge does not translate to ability. There is a bridge there, and the only thing that crosses that is practice and feedback to constantly polish your skill. So what happens is if someone does go through a great, could be a very good program that teaches them theory and coaching knowledge, but they will default all of the time, unless their intuition shows them differently, they will always default to advice giving, because that's what we do when we have knowledge. We start sharing our advice. But coaching is inspiring and getting under it and just asking lots of really specific targeted questions to help them have the insight so that they can change it and translate into change in their life. Otherwise, they'll take my advice. They might remember it for a while, but if they can't practice it and see success from it, they're going to go right back to the same behaviors that caused them to stay in the problem they had in the first place.
Right. And also, I think it's an ownership thing. It's the person needs to take ownership of making the decision on their own. And that way, I think, is more effective in, you know, making the change happen and then also making it lasting.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So I love your niche, and I want to talk a little bit about that. You know, I think that, you know, coaching is becoming more and more well known. There's more and more people going into it. And I think it's a challenge if you don't have an entrepreneurial background really what this is you are, you know, starting your own business essentially, and you're creating a practice, and you really do need to set yourself apart from what other, you know, practitioners, coaches specifically are doing. So what were some things that you did to stand apart, and do you have any like advice or tips or things for people that are starting out in the business as to what worked for you, what didn't work, and what you would advise?
Yes, absolutely. I guess the first advice, and just for all of us to know up front, it never goes the way we planned, but planning is key. And I think part of the planning is, and I took my own advice on this, is leverage my strengths, leverage my experience, and be sure that my practice is what makes me happy. Because with anyone starting a business, we often think because we have a skill, it translates right into the business. So many coaches, and I've had colleagues who have rethought their own business plan, especially that first year, is we become coaches because we want to help and change other people's lives. But often in order to do that, we need to be good at building a business first, and our time often needs to be more on that than on the coaching itself. So if we don't feel we've got the skills, knowledge, or passion to really design a business and make it run, which is our plan, writing a business plan, our marketing, which is so key, keeping it alive, keeping ourselves out there. If that part makes us feel burdened or heavy, there are still many options. We can work for others. You mentioned coaching is getting well known. There are many companies hiring coaches now to help from the inside, so that might be an option if someone doesn't want their own practice. Or they can do a part-time practice and do something else part-time. Or they can decide, yes, I want to build my practice, and that's important, and I'm just going to do it. And like you said, too, there are also options, and I know you're very well aware of them. There are other really great local companies that can help us fill in those gaps or do some of the marketing for us so that we can spend more of our time doing the coaching. So what I would say is coaching, I think, as it becomes more well-known, there are many more options for bringing that coaching expertise to others, whether if it's not going to be a practice. For me, I love having my own practice. It gives me the ability to flex my own time. I have a lot of outside interests and family needs, caring for elderly parents and children. So I love that I can flex it. And for me, having all the corporate experience I had, I was very, very lucky when I decided to leave working for others and work for myself after my career. They found me and they just started calling me. And I still got clients today that are calling me from who I've worked with over the last, 30 years now, saying, hey, I've got this situation. I'd like to hire you. Can you help me through it?
Yeah, that's great. I love the point you made about the possibility of working for a company, because I think a lot of times people go through these coaching programs and there's not necessarily a lot of direction as to what to do, with the certification afterwards. And many people think, oh, well, the only option I have is just to start my own practice. And that might be what you want to do, but it's also nice that there's other options that you potentially could, slide into this work with a company and not have to deal with all of the entrepreneurial fun or not so fun. So that's great. And yes, also the other point I want to reiterate is, which I say to every holistic practitioner I meet, yes, you have to know many different facets of running a business, but you don't have to do them all. Especially the marketing. If that's not your forte, then let someone else do it, like our company or many other companies. It doesn't matter who you hire to me, but do have someone else that is an expert in that area do it for you. And that just frees you up to be doing what you love to do, which is obviously your practice.
Oh, Diana, it's such a key point, because what I've seen in several people who started small businesses, they didn't love doing parts of it, but they didn't want to relinquish control either, and they just weren't happy, because that wasn't leveraging their strengths. And the biggest message I have in my chapter, and really in my life for myself and for others, is do what makes us happy, because that energy comes through and success follows. you know, when we come from our own passions and strengths, we're naturally motivated. When we're trying to do something because we think we have to do it, it becomes a burden, and that shows up in our life and in our work. So with experts like yourself and many others out there to help lift some of that from us, we can spend our time coaching.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think the big factor that comes in for a lot of people is just money. I mean, there's only, you know, most people that I find in the holistic world didn't realize or just didn't have the means to have a marketing budget. So they feel like they have to do everything themselves because they don't have a lot of money. And there are definitely ways around that. I mean, you could bring an intern on board to do your social media. I mean, we have 7 interns on board with the magazines this summer, which is amazing. And they all are, you know, they're all unpaid internships. They're all working for credit or just the experience. And these kids are awesome. And they are, you know, their marketing backgrounds, their social media background, and they definitely, I mean, I don't know what I would do without them. So, you know, there's ways to do it, I think, inexpensively, you know, or even at no cost at all. But the point being is really try to seek out who you can have, you know, as part of your repertoire, I guess, that can do some of these things for you, especially if it's something you hate doing or you just don't have knowledge to do.
Yeah, I that's so important. And I remember before I even graduated with my certification, I made a list of everything I thought that would be needed for a successful coaching practice. So I had items like advertising, marketing, you know, skills, expertise, networking, you know, just kind of categories. And then I scored myself 1 to 5, you know, how much of that is a natural interest and talent for me? Well, they're the things that were lower on the list I put aside, and I realized I'm okay at marketing, networking, I can do it really well, but does it come as natural fun for me? Not really. So I put that on the list and said, okay, here's what I know I can focus on because that's what I'm good at. Here's where I need support. Building a website was something on my I need support list. So I reached out and found a really great guy, and he's partnered with me today, helping me to keep up my own website, and we're kind of in the phase actually of relaunching it and refreshing it, and he's my partner by my side, so I could never have done that by myself.
Right, yep. And there's even opportunities to barter, too, like, you know, maybe you can find a web developer that's interested in business coaching or life coaching, so, you know, think about that aspect, too, I think is important.
Another great idea.
Yeah. So let's talk specifically about your chapter, and, you know, you tell us a little bit about how you decided to write about that, the target market, you know, a little info about what people can find in your chapter, and then I know you do a bunch of other things too, so we'll talk about those too.
Great. I found my chapter really when I sat down and thought about the book and my opportunity to kind of have a voice in the world, I kind of went inside and said, okay, what am I really passionate about? And one of the many things I'm passionate about is seeing young people really struggle with getting their college degree. They've been on a focus plan. They've worked hard. They've graduated. And they were coming into the companies I was working in just so excited to get started, and then realizing that what they thought they might be doing might not end up being what they were being asked to do, and they started realizing that they needed to learn a lot more to fit into job cultures, that being in the passion of your major is different than working in it for other people and with other people. And so I realized as I was talking to people then as they got into their 30s and 40s as their HR representative, they were kind of getting to this point where they were doing everything they could think of, they were successful, they felt they were good at what they did, but they weren't sure that's what they wanted to do anymore. And many folks were saying, no, I kind of was thinking, I wish I had majored in something else, or working in this type of role maybe wasn't what I had in mind in college. So I would talk to them, and they would start telling me about their interests and skills, and I would look at them, and when they talked to me about loving marketing, for example, I took a marketing class, and I loved it. I loved being out with the sales folks. I loved helping to promote a product. And I would say, so why did you major in finance? Well, because I thought finance would be a good degree to help me get a job. My parents spent a lot of money on my education, and I needed to get a job. So there were so many things I learned about these kids as they came in from college and then progressed the next 20 years of their careers. And what I realized was they hadn't done the work on the inside first when they even picked their major or picked their first job. So I wanted to send the message that when we know what makes us happy, what we're naturally acclimated to, what our strengths are, then our natural motivation and results follow, no matter how high or big that dream might seem. I didn't want kids to limit themselves and just work for the paycheck. We all deserve more than that. So I thought if I could figure out what that inside work was and translate it to them in a way that they could kind of think more about it before they either decided a major or decided on their first job, that it might help them land in a happier place. So I guess that's kind of why I chose this chapter, to try to help make a difference.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we had conversations about it before you were writing it, because I know you had a couple of different options that you were considering. And I think I remember saying to you, like, you know, that is something that's really needed. And I almost feel like everybody should take a year off between high school and college and go through, like, a life coaching program.
I love it.
Not to become a coach. I mean, maybe some people might, but... you know, to really figure out. I remember when I was 18, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And so, you know, I went to UConn because it was the state school and it was a good school. And my father had been in business. And so, you know, I thought, well, you know, I'm not really sure what I want. I had some interest in, like, you know, I thought maybe I wanted to go into hotel management. But then, you know, I think my parents talked me out of that because they envisioned, you know, 7 days a week, 80 hours, and knowing me, they were like, I don't think she's quite that dedicated. So, you know, she's going to want a more balanced life, just the type of person that I was, you know. Mm-hmm. So I went into marketing, and then, you know, I worked in that field for a couple of years, then ended up going back and getting graduate degrees in exercise physiology, which is probably like at the opposite end of the spectrum, but now have been able to, you know, kind of combine the two, but I think that's rare. I think a lot of people, like you say, their parents say, oh, you should get, you know, go into this field or go into that field. I have a good friend who basically went into computer science because that's what his father told him to do, that they were paying for the college and that was going to be a great, you know, secure, good income job. And, you know, 20 years later or whatever, he's like, I'm not interested in this anymore. I never was passionate about it. It was just to pay the bills.
And even, yes, you're so right, and even I have a family that has a lot of college-age nephews in it, and even talking to them, if their parents aren't directing them, they still feel like, well, I want to get married someday and have a house, and that costs money, so I need to pick a career where I can make the biggest paycheck, because otherwise who's going to pay for these dreams I have of the future? And they think of it more in terms of the type of job it is or how easily they could get it or how much it pays. And they're thinking about it from that perspective instead of, you know, what do I do really well and what makes me happy? Because if we do that, we're going to be successful. So, yeah, you're so right. And I think kids, especially when they're trying to do the right thing by their parents, as most are, they're a little hesitant to have a voice in that because they aren't really sure and they don't know yet. They haven't had the experience to tell them that yet. I started off at UConn as a double major in English literature and art. I wanted to teach, minor in music. And I ended up, you know, 30-plus years in corporate America, managing and leading business, mostly.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Yeah, because I had to go through it myself to go, why didn't I stay in teaching and counseling, because that's what I loved.
Right.
So I ended up kind of transferring into HR, which got me into finding, being able to use my gifts. But, I didn't get my teaching degree, which was my original passion, because I wasn't sure I could afford to have the things I wanted on the money that was being made by teachers back then.
Right, yeah. So I think your chapter is a great exercise. Like, someone could basically go through a chapter and answer a lot of the questions and do the exercises and things like that to find out more information. But I also feel like it is really just a teaser, and that most people probably would need to work with you directly past that to really get clear on what it is they think they want to do that they're passionate about.
Absolutely, because none of us, not even myself or you with our coaching background, can ever be as objective or work through challenges by ourselves without someone on the outside saying, "So, why haven't you ever wanted to do that? Or what's kept you from doing that? You know, what's underneath that?" These powerful questions to get us out of our own thinking. I sometimes say, even myself, helping others so much and having them come back to me and go, "Wow, I'm still doing this and it's great, thank you." Sometimes I can't even get out of my own way, because
yeah.
We are who we are, and we live inside our heads and hearts, and we need an outside influence very often to break us through some of our challenged thinking.
Yeah, I totally agree. So what are some of the other demographics that you work with, or topics or things like that that you want to tell people about as far as your coaching?
Sure. What I love, and this is why I named my business Bridge Life Coaching, because I love helping people build bridges across challenges. And what I do is just try to keep the light shining ahead of where they're going, with questions and support to help them walk their journey and know I'm a partner by their side and their very biggest champion and fan. Because when we get going to change, let's face it, really everything in life that comes at us is change, and we want to know someone is our champion through that. So that's important to me. So what I have found is many people have come to me for life coaching, getting themselves through transitions. Often, again, it's career transition later in life as companies scale down to be more profitable, and someone with 40 years of experience who feels like they want to work another 15 years gets laid off. And then they're facing challenges with their age or with what they're making at a company to try to get another job like that. Another group that comes to me, interestingly enough, and they've kind of found me, I didn't intentionally focus on this group, many women, after they've raised their children and they're getting into their 50s and 60s, very often they've lost their spouses, are coming to me for, "What do I do now? I thought I'd have my husband and we have this whole retirement plan, and he's not in my life anymore, and I've got to figure out who I am now." Or my kids are gone, my husband and I, we're empty nesters, or they're single people, kind of looking for something new. So I find that 40, 50-year-olds are really starting to self-reflect and looking at what they want to do for the rest of their lives, and I'm helping them with that. So those right now seem to be my biggest client base, but really anything in the life transition mode or career transition or small business. I've got a background in strategic planning, and so I've had some very small businesses come to me and say, "We need to reinvent ourselves. Our board isn't getting along. We aren't sure we've got the right plan in place. We aren't sure how to compete. We need some help." And I've gone in and done workshops with them to help them with a new strategic plan, or I've worked with the directors of the board to help them kind of look at their board differently and step up as leaders to help lead through the change they're going through. So that's another niche I've got, which I love because I love small business and helping them stay alive. So I kind of look to the universe to send me the people who need me, and I'm there for them, I guess, is kind of my short answer.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. But there's definitely an underlying theme, you know. I think it's transition, really. You know, and maybe even people who really don't know what the next step is going to be, which is hard. I mean, it's one thing to transition when you have a clear path ahead of you, and it's another to transition when you have no clue what you want to do, but yet there are many opportunities. I mean, to me, I always try to look at the positive. The positive to that is like, wow, like the world is open. You could do anything.
Absolutely. And my favorite part is when they think they have a plan and they come to me and they say, Louise, help me with my resume and my interviewing skills because I need to get this job. We have a session and they're like, wow, I want to do something even bigger than this. And then we get started on a whole new path. And they get really excited about it instead of limiting themselves. So that's also powerful in coaching. Coaches help you realize you want more than you're even afraid to dream about.
I was going to say exactly that. Like that, I think, if I could put, you know, the benefit or just the experience of working with a coach into one sentence, it would be exactly that. Like you may come to them with one issue and you may leave with like, you know, a vision or a dream that's 10 times what you walked in there with.
Absolutely. And that's fun for everyone involved.
That is, yeah. Yeah, the coach too.
Absolutely.
Definitely. So before we close, I want to make sure that people can learn more about you and find you online and all that. So if you want to tell us what your website is and how people can get in contact with you.
Sure. They can email me at bridgelifecoaching, no dots, just one string, bridgelifecoaching@yahoo.com, or my website, which is being refreshed now and will certainly be up and active again when the book comes out, is bridgelifecoaching.com. So I can be reached that way, and I'm really excited to have people talk to me about coaching or seek me out as a coach, and I'm looking forward so much to working with the other authors on this book and making it a success. And I think you've given me the bug, Diane. I really want to do a lot more writing in terms of coaching concepts and principles and get some other books out there too in the future. So I'm excited about this opportunity. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, we're very excited for the book. We hope that that'll be out by the end of summer. And yes, so that's awesome. People can find you at bridgelifecoaching.com and for more information about Louise and her work. And I want to thank you so much for being on the call today. We really enjoyed it. And hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Diane. And I look forward to all the good things ahead for all of us, the readers included. Take care and thank you so very much.
Me too. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.